like John Carlson, you'll love Glenn Beck this morning at 9 on Talk Radio 570 KBI.
I don't know, Phil, what's your take? Wrapping up this Puyallup story, do you think it's inappropriate to call someone like, you know, the sign Nazi or the time card Nazi or the human resources?
I mean, I understand the reference, so it doesn't get me all twisted and bent out of shape. And I would submit that anybody who does get wound up to that point and feels like an apology is required or something like that is just way too tightly wound.
Well, and the mayor made...
As I like to use the reference point in the Bill Murray movie Stripes, lighten up, Francis.
Yeah.
And Sergeant Hulka has to talk the guy off the ledge for trying to intimidate everybody.
I think, though, that the mayor actually made a good point when he said that people only find jokes funny if they like the person who's telling them. So if this guy was an ally, a friend of the mayor's, and the mayor calls him that, then, you know, people chuckle lightly and then on to the next, you know, the next comment. But if you don't like the mayor or if you don't know the mayor and he calls you that, you take umbrage at it. And if he was going to be offended, okay, I think it's appropriate the mayor apologize. I just don't know why the city council, after he apologizes, votes a public statement on the record denouncing the behavior. I mean, I don't think it's that big a deal. It's something that it was a miscue and the mayor apologized and it should be done with. All right, on to other things that are considerably weightier than that. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli prime minister, on Hamas rocket launchers coming from areas where civilians are located in Gaza. The missiles, of course, the rocket launchers aiming their ordnance at Israel.
We've seen the heaviest fighting yet today. The Palestinians are calling the latest operation a massacre. Your response?
Well, we regret any civilian deaths, but those lay entirely at Hamas's door. They've fired 2,000 rockets at Israel's cities. 75% of our population has to be in bomb shelter alert of 60 seconds or 90 seconds. They're digging these terror tunnels from Gaza, from homes in Gaza, to penetrate and infiltrate Israeli territory. They've emerged there and killed Israelis and run back or try to run back into their territory. So we've had to take action. What Hamas is doing very cynically is embedding its rocketeers, its rocket caches, its tunnels, these terror tunnels, in homes, in hospitals, in schools. And when we take action, as targeted as we can, they then use their civilians as human shields. So Hamas is both targeting civilians and Hamas is hiding behind civilians. That's a double war crime.
Therefore, all civilian deaths,
as regrettable as they are, fall on their shoulders.
Okay, I think Netanyahu is reasonable. I think he's correct. I think that Hamas is very cynically, cravenly, and I think cowardly, using its own civilians, its own children, as human shields while they conduct a campaign of completely unprovoked terror. I mean, what on earth, people like Rachel Corey were on these guys' side? I have no idea. Well, I do have the idea. There's just this simmering hatred toward Israel, which made a mistake here. You know what the mistake was? The mistake was they left Gaza, left a homeland to the Palestinians without first getting assurances that Gaza would recognize Israel's right to exist. See, that's the deal they made with Egypt for the Camp David Accords in the 70s. That's the deal they made with Jordan in the 90s. They did not make that same deal with Gaza, which is why Gaza's been used as a base for making war on Israel. I talked to Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, Fox News strategic analyst, earlier this morning, and I asked him if he thinks Israel's strategy so far is a good one, whether it's working.
Well, the doggone problem in that Israel faces in Gaza is there's really no clean way to do it. There's no way to do it right in some clean, perfect sense. It's just an ugly form of warfare, and Hamas is doing all it can to make it uglier. I think Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, nailed it when he said that the difference is that Israel uses its missiles to defend its people. Hamas uses its people to defend its missiles. And we've seen the use across the weekend of human shields. I mean, it's cold. Hamas's strategy, this terrorist strategy, is absolutely cold-blooded. It's to run up the number of civilian casualties of women and children, to provide, you know, great photo ops of suffering Palestinian children. That's what Hamas wants. So they purposely expose civilians. But Hamas leaders are either in other countries, as Khalid Mashal is in Qatar, or they're deep underground in air-conditioned bunkers. And Hamas, their leaders are in bunkers underneath hospitals, underneath schools, and one of the command bunkers for Hamas is reportedly under the largest hospital in Gaza. So what is Israel to do? You know, imagine the headlines if Israel leveled that hospital. And so the only choice left to them, if they want to stop these terror rockets, if they want to stop these terror raids coming up through tunnels, is to go into Gaza and root them out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the same pattern is probably going to prevail that has in past conflicts, where the world gangs up on Israel because the Hamas strategy works, you know, of having their own children and women, you know, bombed and slaughtered, and then blaming the Israelis. And so their strategy will probably work, and Israel will probably be forced to stop short again, and the cycle begins again. And this kind of fighting, urban warfare in a super densely populated area like Gaza, it's just really, really ugly. The Israeli soldiers face IEDs, booby traps, mines, snipers. It's really hard. And Hamas doesn't care about the destruction, about the casualties of its own civilians. It doesn't care about the pain inflicted on its own population, as long as they can hang on to power.
Would it be fair to call Hamas the Al-Qaeda of the Palestinians? Because there just seems to be no honor, no dignity, no nobility among these people whatsoever.
Yeah, actually, I think on some level it's not fair to Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda actually had some principles when it came. I mean, core Al-Qaeda preferred not to kill innocent Muslim women and children, whereas Hamas is perfectly happy to do so to further their ends. Now, from the Israeli perspective, certainly Hamas would be, you know, the local version of Al-Qaeda, although to stress to your listeners, these groups are not directly related. They just share common goals, such as the destruction of Israel.
By the way, let me point out for our listeners that Egypt, you know, an Islamic country, a Muslim country, has suggested a ceasefire, which Israel has accepted and Hamas has not.
Yeah, Israel has accepted the Egyptian ceasefire, and what happened? Hamas rockets kept raining down in Israel, and terrorists were popping up through tunnels in Israeli soil. Israel later, since then, has unilaterally imposed on its forces two humanitarian ceasefires to let people get food, water, or evacuate buildings, and Hamas rockets kept shooting through those two humanitarian ceasefires. But there's just, among the global left, and which of course dominates the global media and much of our own, there's just a strong anti-Israel sentiment that is really the socially acceptable modern version of anti-Semitism, of primitivism. I mean, for much of the hardcore left in the world, their view of Jews is about the same as Hitler's.
Well,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I was pointing out a couple weeks ago that Jews in France, more Jews in the first 3 months of 2014 have petitioned to leave France than any time since the 40s. because of the rising tide of anti-Semitism in France. Again, this is way back at the beginning of the year.
Yes, and across the last week or so, three synagogues in France have come under attack. There have been multiple, because the Muslim population of France is in the millions, there have been multiple demonstrations in favor of Hamas and anti-Israeli demonstrations. This weekend, the French Interior Ministry in Paris, the chief of police of Paris, had forbidden street demonstrations. The Palestinians and their supporters ignored it and came out rampaged again. And it's amazing. I mean, you don't see, you never see French or any other Jews attacking mosques and, you know, trying to set them on fire.
Right.
But it's okay somehow. It's okay. The global left gives them a pass when Palestinians and their sympathizers or other Muslim extremists attack synagogues. And, oh, by the way, in France, they've also had many and multiple instances of young Jews being badly beaten or even murdered by these extremists.
By roving mobs. Now, in the 2 minutes we have left, let's go to Malaysian Flight 17, taken down in Ukraine by a surface-to-air missile just 35 miles from the Russian border. The separatists supported by Russia are blaming the Ukrainian government. Ukrainian government says, what are you talking about? This happened in an area you control. You shot it down. You know it, etc. And still, here we are several days afterwards, bodies still on the ground there.
Yeah, well, you know, President Obama made a tragic mistake with his usual timidity. On Friday, after his UN ambassador, Samantha Power, laid out a forceful program of evidence that Russian-backed separatists with Russian aid had shot down this aircraft, but barely an hour later, President Obama came out and walked it back. He undercut his own UN ambassador and said basically, well, yeah, it looks like the Russians may have been in it, but we got to wait and see. We don't know for 100% for certain. U.S. intelligence already knew 100% for certain that it was the missile was fired from separatist-controlled territory, that it could not be fired by a bunch of Yahoo Cossacks, that the SA-11 system, knee air defense system, needs you need serious training on that. The program for training on that can last between a year and 2 years, and even an abbreviated training program would be months. My own belief is that there were actually, while separatist commanders gave the order to fire, that there were actual Russian military technicians operating the system. I can see no other way it could have happened. But at any rate, the bottom line is we knew from the first hours that the separatists, supported by Russian technicians, had shot this aircraft down. And our president just can't bring himself to take a firm stand on anything. I mean,
this guy
is such a total weenie. It's hurting America badly.
What should he do now? He can reaffirm the need for sanctions. He could give aid, lethal aid, to the Ukrainian government so it can defend itself more capably. What do you think in the 30 seconds we have left he ought to do, Ralph Peters?
Four things. One, unilateral imposition of much tougher sanctions, even if the Europeans won't go along. Two, overt, in-your-face military weaponry supplied to Ukraine with U.S. trainers on Ukrainian soil.
Whoa.
Not combatants, but U.S. trainers.
Okay.
Three, let's go back to building a proper air defense system in Poland, the Czech Republic, and the Baltics, you know, if, of course, the locals want it, and believe the Poles will after this. Obama never should have killed that air defense system and undercut our allies in the first place. And the fourth thing is we need to reorient our support from NATO away from the last bases in Germany and elsewhere in Europe and put forces, station forces on the ground,
NATO,
in Poland and in other Eastern European countries.
NATO forces. Ralph Peters here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. By the way, there is one country that has risen to criticize the United Nations top human rights official for questioning the legality of Israel's airstrikes and campaign against Hamas in Gaza. It wasn't us. I'll tell you what country it was and what they had to say right after this.
One, two, three.
Somebody's got to stand up for what's right. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
So, One Nation has stood up and publicly criticized the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, who had questioned whether it was legal for Israel to strike Gaza after apparently voicing no objection whatsoever to thousands of completely, utterly unprovoked rocket attacks from Gaza into Israel. The nation was not the United States. It was Canada. And their foreign minister, John Baird, said Canada rejects the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay's, uncalled for criticism of Israel's response to rocket attacks from Gaza. Focusing her comments on Israel is neither helpful nor reflective of the reality of this crisis. There must be no moral equivalence between Hamas, a listed terrorist organization, and its blatant disregard for human life and the liberal democratic state of Israel's duty and obligation to defend its people from cowardly and indiscriminate attacks. Foreign Minister Baird went on to say that while the capital of Canada, Ottawa, mourns the death and suffering of innocent civilians in Gaza, they say that Hamas and its allies bear all responsibility for the current crisis as they continue to shoot rockets at Israel. They point out that the Israeli army takes extraordinary steps to reduce civilian casualties in very difficult and trying conditions. Close quote. So, good for them. And John Kerry is now, yes, Israel has a right to do what they are doing, but I wish there was also clear criticism and condemnation of the United Nations for trying to draw moral equivalence between the two. There is no moral equivalence between a terrorist and the person defending themselves against the terrorist, or a nation defending itself from a terrorist. When we come back, those border children that you keep hearing about, what are they really all about? Are they really all children? And also, how many adults are among them? You'll be surprised when you find out, and you will in a moment.